These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel. This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and you're welcome to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler. Now, electric car sales are falling in Ireland for the first time and internationally. So what's going on? Will the price discounts we're seeing help them come back? How badly will falling resale values hurt? And where are we with things like the public charging network and interesting new models in the market? Well, Derek Riley is the general manager with Nevo.ie and is always a very valued contributor to this podcast for his ability to explain things in plain English. Derek, last month's sales figures showed for the first time, as I said, a fall in annually compared monthly electric car sales of 15.5%, which I think was February compared to February. And even if you compare the first 2 months of the year, it was up marginally, but I think by 1%, which is, I think, the smallest growth I've ever seen on a year-to-date figure. And electric cars now trail all other vehicle categories, I think, for sales growth, despite some hefty discounts now available of up to €12,000 per vehicle. What do we think is going on here?
I definitely think it's how the media are spinning it. So like you say, EV sales are actually up January and February of this
1.5%.
Year versus January. Exactly.
So they're basically flat.
Up. But not
but trailing petrol
correct.
And diesel.
Joking aside, it is, and February on February, it is slightly down. So I think what's after happening is the early adopters are after getting on board, like yourself, and the mass market are still worried about it and still concerned.
What are they worried
about? All the media. Yeah, some of the negative stories. And so it's...
You think it's the big bad media scaring people? I mean...
The shock jocks and all the rest of it.
So we saw a huge... huge fall in resale value. So a friend of mine who lives in West Cork in the Bear Peninsula, whose wife has been ill, he bought an electric car, Volkswagen ID4. He spent almost €70,000 on it 18 months ago. It couldn't get him to Dublin to the hospital appointments he needed his wife to attend. He spent almost €70,000 on it. 18 months later, he was offered just under 40 grand on a trade-in. So a fall in resale value of almost 50%. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a disaster.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It's not really the media, is it?
No, it's not the media, but one of how many... It's definitely a story that's happened and it's a true story, but then you don't hear of the thousands of people who buy an electric car, keep it for 3 or 4 years, that never go and trade it in. And 18 months wouldn't be the norm in the Irish world.
Well, his reason for trading it in was because it literally wouldn't get him from his home in Bear to Dublin in one charge.
So it wasn't fit for purpose.
No, it wasn't fit for purpose. And look, we have talked about a little bit about this before. As you know, and as probably our listeners know, I bought one just over a year ago, and it very significant fall in resale value to it. I don't regret buying it. I like my ID3. I like driving it. It doesn't get me to West Cork. It will get me to Mayo, to Belmullet in the summertime, maybe not the wintertime. But I'm wondering, when I talk to people generally about electric cars, the message has got out there that we have a really weak, comparatively really weak public charging network if you need to leave the area of the island you live in, and that the ranges on them people are still surprised that you don't get the same range in summer as winter. Have we kind of screwed it up in terms of how we present electric cars to people?
I definitely think there's an education piece required from the industry, from the media, from the likes of myself. And so I always try, whenever I review electric car for YouTube, I'll say, this is the WLTP. And we've talked about this before.
But just remind people of your YouTube channel.
So it's Nevo EV Review Ireland.
Yep.
And so thank
Good
you very
channel.
Much. And so if you're looking for a new electric car, I've done it, I've driven it, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll always say the range, the WLTP range that the manufacturers have said versus what's the real world range. And it's hard because my real world range is on my ID3 will be totally different to Adrian's real world range because it is a difference in driving style.
What, 60 kilometers an hour or something?
Captain Slow. I'm Captain Slow, not Adrian. But joking aside. But
well, I've become Captain Slow.
Right.
And actually, it's not a bad thing. And we've talked about this before.
Correct.
When I am driving outside of Dublin, down the country, I will go 10, 20 kilometers under the speed limit where I didn't. And there are benefits to that, by the way. But I'm a middle-aged man, so I feel those benefits. I don't know if that's exactly what you would really want. And I'm not sure that's what people buying one actually realize is the truth of it. But sorry, I interrupted you there.
Yeah, it's definitely down to being fit for purpose. And it's really hard to hear that story about that your friend down in Cork, whose wife became ill and had to come up to Dublin on a regular basis. And he never thought of that journey as a regular journey that he would have to do. So he bought the car on what he would normally doing. And that's why you always buy a car. But things do change. Don't get me wrong. Circumstances changes. And that would be the same if he bought a 70,000 euros combustion engine vehicle. There would be a loss in that resale value. Would it be as much as an electric car? No, not at the
absolutely
moment.
Absolutely not.
And
no.
Just because that secondhand EV market is not at the maturity that it needs to be to give him a value that he thinks he deserves on that car.
You see, I wonder with this fall off in sales of electric cars, so it's still a tiny percentage of cars relatively that of new cars now that are sold that are electric cars. It was supposed to be growing exponentially. It was for a short period. Now it has leveled off. And the majority of people don't want to buy an electric car. That seems to be clear. Doesn't include you and I, but it does seem to be clear that most people don't want one. And I'm just wondering where we go from here. Like, what is it that is going to persuade people that they might be a good option? I might argue that a reliable, ubiquitous public charging network would really help. What do you think?
Absolutely. And so once people start to see electric cars and electric vans around their neighbourhood, I was talking to somebody recently and they said, oh, my mother's in Cavan, she's buying a new car, she's not going to go full electric at the moment because she doesn't see it around. It's not the norm for her, number one. Her neighbours aren't driving them, she's not able to talk to somebody at the supermarket. But yes, that public charging network needs to be better, and we are getting places. And even with the Irish EV Association website, they now have a planning tracker on the website so you can see where the applications
are
going.
The problem I have with that, and I don't have a problem with them having a planning app, it's a good idea to have that. The problem I have is I think most people still do have an idea of a car, a vehicle, a personal transport vehicle as something that they can, that gives them freedom. It's this idea of freedom.
Correct.
So a car, I remember getting my first car, it was an old banger, it was a Fiat Uno.
I had a Ford Fiesta.
Oh my God, it was terrible car and I loved it. It's the car I love the most. I was in my early 20s because it could get me anywhere around Dublin. Get me anywhere in the country. It was this idea of freedom. And when you have a car that cannot go beyond a certain distance and where you cannot get it refueled, you might genuinely be stuck. It's the first time we've ever really had that with cars. I mean, because say what you want about the, you know, ICE cars and the downsides to them. And I've written about them and I've written of the reasons I bought an electric car and I will not go back to an ICE car. But they represented freedom. I could buy a car and go somewhere. If I had a spouse who was ill, there would be no question that my car would not stand in the way. And for the first time in our lives, really, we now have a category of car that may not get you from A to B. And I can understand why a lot of people
as I said, we're talking about the media, they're hearing the negative stories, they're not hearing the positive stories. And it's great when you bring me on because I'm trying to give that balanced opinion as to, do you know what? Yes, I'm pro-electric cars, but I'm also giving you the answers straight and digestible.
Yeah. Well, let's spend 30 seconds on the pro of electric cars. I'm sure we'll agree on them. They're beautiful to drive.
Yep.
fantastic. They're fantastic power and torque. Mm-hmm. They're usually reasonably high spec, mm-hmm. comparatively. They're better for the environment. I don't care what people say about, oh, batteries and, you know, they're overall, they're better for the environment.
Correct.
Than a petrol or a diesel car. And that's no small thing. That is a really big deal. It's a big deal to be able to say that in your daily, weekly, monthly, annual transport, that you have made some difference. That is a really big deal.
But it's not a driving factor for people to purchase. What's a driving factor for people to purchase an electric vehicle is cost. And on the 1st of April, petrol and diesel are going to go up in price. And I can guarantee you, Adrian, that in April, you're going to see EV sales go back up.
Really?
You're going to see, I'm going to see on my website, nevo.ie, you're going to see people coming searching it.
And what? So right now, I think you're paying somewhere around, you know, 165, 170, something like that per litre of diesel petrol. What is it going to go up to?
And so that's going to go up 5 cents, 5 cents, another 5 cents. So there's four planned EV or petrol and diesel price hikes between now and January of next year.
Coming up to €2.
Easily. Easily €2. And once we start that's hitting that, that is significant in the pocket.
And electricity prices are coming down at the moment.
This is the thing. Which
means
recent SEAI put out a poster there recently where every forecourt in the country with three pumps or more are going to have to display what's the cost for petrol at 100 kilometres, what's the cost for diesel at 100 kilometres, and what's the cost of electric driving for 100 kilometres.
When does that kick in?
So that's kicking in the 29th of March. So this week, the end of this week.
So that is to say that in 2 weeks' time, we will start seeing these.
You'll see these posters either in paper, printed, or on a digital screen inside forecourts of
that's
three pumps
deal.
Or more.
Yeah.
Now, people are losing their minds about it, Adrian, because they're saying, because the SAI have taken a blended rate, they're saying to drive these 100 kilometres, it's going to be 90% charging at home and 10% charging on the public network.
Ah, now that, okay, so there is a reasonable grounds to pick that apart then, because I know, as you know, that if you charge your car at home, particularly if you use a night rate or you plan it efficiently, charging your electric car is cheap. It really is a fraction of the price of petrol or diesel, unless you charge it at a public infrastructure location like a garage or anywhere else. And then, and particularly if you're using one of the high power chargers, one of the few high power chargers that are out there, it's basically the same cost or more than petrol or diesel.
Yeah, but when we see the price of petrol and diesel going up on the 1st of April, and I've heard that public charging prices are going to start coming down, that gap is going to start to grow out.
So the public charging prices, you think, will start coming down?
I've heard the story that, yes, for sure. Because these prices that we were quoted on, public charging prices, was on the back of the Ukrainian war and the price of gas being linked to the price of electricity. And so that wholesale price that we kept on hearing about, and you're starting to see that already with domestic electric tariffs are starting to come down now again. Mm-hmm. After all of this is starting to settle down, the public car charging prices, number one, are going to come down because of the economics of the wholesale price, but also competition in the market.
So does that depend, though, on, take ESP, for example, its high power chargers, its chargers. Does that depend on it kind of making a decision to do, like, why would it make a decision to do that? If I'm driving, I will use the much quoted example that I often use. If I'm driving from Dublin to Belmull at Mayo, and there's one ESB high-powered charger on the route. I think Tesla have introduced a couple.
Now there's a hub in Charlestown, just off the motorway.
That's right, yes.
So there's three 150s there. But yes, they're high-power and they're ESB and they're expensive.
So what is the, why would they naturally reduce that price? They're not facing competition.
No, they are. That's the thing. So you've got ESB is the largest network and standalone network. Mm-hmm. Then you've got EasyGo, which have their own chargers in Belmullet already.
Yeah,
and
there's
also
one in Belmullet,
you can
which
utilize
I've had some interesting experiences with. Mostly positive. And they've won in Swinford,
across the line. They're 24 around the county of Mayo. They did a deal with the local county council there.
But they're different chargers. That's a 50-watt charger.
But the price per kilowatt.
Right.
So yeah, it might not be able to put it into your car as fast, but it would be slightly cheaper. So you've got EasyGo, you've got ESB, you've Ionity, super fast charging. But if you are doing enough mileage to justify the membership on Ionity, the price comes down drastically. And now we've got a brand new company coming in from Northern Ireland called Weave, W-E-E-V, and they're starting to roll out chargers around the country. So competition, number one. Number two, the consumer just will say, it's too expensive to use the public charging network. I will charge at home rather than using. So they have to drop the prices.
That's fine, Derek, but until you have to go somewhere, and you're not actually really that concerned whether it's €3 or €5 or €6, the difference. You really aren't. You're just concerned that it's available.
Yep. That there's like, one there, that it's working, yeah. And that there isn't another car there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if you've ever tried stopping in the at the, what is it, exit 7 or exit 8 on the Cork Road, the in Cashel there. There's a big McDonald's, yes. There's a few. And there are a few chargers there. My God, I've been there maybe 5 times. Literally every time they're always packed. Now, maybe that's because it's a Saturday or a Friday, yes. Or... doesn't matter. I mean, if so I'm driving to Cork.
Have I been? Of course, Adrian. I've been to every single charger in the country. So there's a fast charger at the McDonald's, but at the back, the Ionity as well. Mm. And they're doubling the number of chargers that are currently at the back of that Cashel station for Circle K. And so private infrastructure and private entities are saying, there's more money to be made here. There are more electric vehicles on the road. And I guarantee you by the end of 2024, there are going to be even more public chargers, fast chargers, hubs. That's what everybody wants, is hubs, so that there's 2s, 3s and 4s, so that you never have to wait too long. So recently I was up and down to Balmullet a lot, and that Charlestown hub, because there's 6 bays there now, I never had to wait for charging.
Right.
And that's what we want as EV drivers. And we're going to see more and more of that. And so, yes, there's more and more electric vehicles on the road. Have the sales started to fall, depending on what metric you look at, February versus February? Yes. But so far this year, it's flat. March, yeah, I think look, that we're going to see another...
Flat, Derek, is a disaster, though. I mean, if like for EVs to have any hope of catching petrol, hybrid or diesel... They would still have to be growing at, you know, 20-30%.
But you know what it is? I only want somebody to go into an electric car that wants to go in an electric car. I'm not forcing anybody to go into an electric car. The government are talking about it, but they're not going to force anybody. They're saying 2030, 2035, you can't buy a petrol or diesel car. Now, that's still 11 years away. Well, a lot of things are going to happen in 11 years.
Did you say 2030 or 2035?
2035. Yeah. And so in 11 years... Yeah, it's not far away.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's still about 2 more cars in a normal cycle of people with PCP or HP or whatever it may be. And so maybe they go hybrid now and then they go electric. But what we're seeing, what I'm seeing is, yes, there are, I'm not taking a bash at the media, media likes clicks. Media likes eyeballs, media likes interaction, media likes comments. And so sometimes a controversial headline, whether it's a podcast title or whether it's a YouTube video or whatever it may be, gets loads of views. Because people are talking about it, Adrian. And
no,
I know that you're...
Do you know, I can't agree. I agree with the general principle about media there. I absolutely agree. And we're all guilty of that. There is no question of that. But on this subject, I would challenge that. And I'll give you an example of why. So sometimes I will watch electric car review videos, apart from your own excellent channel, which people should check out. I will watch somebody like Marques Brownlee.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do a review. And they tend to be mostly positive reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets millions and millions of views. And the reason that people are visiting his site to see his reviews, they want to know about the car. They're interested in the cars, okay? They get a lot more than, you know, than somebody bashing. I'm not aware of any site or reviewer or YouTuber who bashes electric cars, who gets anything like the clicks that Marques Brownlee and others get for reviewing the electric cars.
I can send you the links if you want, Adrian.
But
I can send you the links if you want.
And they get millions and millions,
yeah,
the same
so
as Marques Brownlee.
Yeah. Marques has obviously built up his tech review channel, MKBHD, and he also has Autofocus, which is his amazing automotive review site. And he gave out a stinker of a review recently on the Fisker Ocean.
That's right.
It was the worst car he ever reviewed.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a very good review, but I'm trying to be giving the people the information.
Yeah.
But there are a number
The point is, do you think he did that for clicks? I think he was being honest.
No, the title was for clicks.
Hmm. What was the title?
The worst car I've ever reviewed. And it's not like him, Adrian. And you'd agree. He's not that kind of YouTuber.
I'll leave it up to listeners to decide. If you go to his YouTube channel, on his positive videos, he will sometimes post titles like "The best car I've ever reviewed." I take your point about sensationalism.
For sure.
And there's definitely an element to that. But I remember, and I'm going to bring it up, at the beginning of this year, I brought up my own example of not being able to get from Dublin City to Cork City in my ID3, which had a claimed range of over 400 kilometres. Dublin City to Cork City is like 260, 270 kilometres. Barely made it to Fermoy. With 5% of battery remaining, going under the speed limit the entire time. And, okay, it was 5 degrees outside, probably a southwest wind, okay, all of which would affect a petrol or diesel car. It doesn't matter. you know, 424 kilometers was not correct. I'm sorry, you can't sell somebody an electric car and not tell them that it may not get from Dublin to Cork.
Agree.
You can't do that. And me bringing it up or writing a column about it or, you know, going on TV, I don't think that's sensationalism. I genuinely think that that was informing people of something that they weren't aware of.
Correct. And I'd rather them to see that article or watch that, whatever it may be, and then go, do you know what? An electric car may not be for us now.
Yeah.
Because I don't want somebody going into one.
As much as people who are getting on my back about it, I'm still interested in trying to get people to look at electric cars.
If it works for them.
If it works, well, in general, like you say that the government, you know we shouldn't be like trying to heavy hand people into getting electric cars. I'm not 100% against that. I think overall, as public policy, it is a good idea to encourage electric cars. I ironically think that people like me spouting off about the deficiencies and highlighting them, albeit in a sharp way, might be in a country like this, with the way government runs in a country like this, might be the only thing that might light a fire under their ass.
Yeah.
You know, rather than saying, you know, spouting the usual talking points or about, you know, A, B and C and how electric cars, you know, can do this and do that, which we also include. People have lives to run.
Yes.
You know, they have things to do.
It has to work for them. Like that example you gave of that, your friend down in Cork.
Yeah.
Things change, your life changes, you may not. And I keep saying, I don't want you to go into an electric vehicle if it's not right for you. I don't want you to think you have to be forced into an electric vehicle. But my God, on social media, it's militant. People are like, oh, don't be lying about the range in this car. And I've just given them the real world range that I've achieved.
Mm.
I'm after driving from Balmullet to Dunleary.
Yeah,
I do a coast-to-coast in my videos.
And sometimes you post videos and you can see on your video, you literally leaving Balmullet to Dublin and you can see.
Everything is there.
Completely
black
verified.
Black and white.
Yeah.
And so people saying, oh, don't lie about the range. How did you drive it? Did you not have the air conditioner on? Oh, I could only drive at 120 kilometres
an hour. But look, Derek, you're talking about social media now because it works both ways.
Correct.
I post something about going from Dublin to Cork and I get absolutely lambasted. Oh, you must have been going at 160 kilometres an hour. You must have had a packed car. You must have been braking and accelerating.
And heating up to 28.
I mean, some of the comments I got around that, I kind of had to take off air sort of privately because, like, and from people, anyway, I'm not even going to go into that, but
not good.
So social media is an issue here, and we can't take that too seriously because that's what social media does. But the general point is we're trying to figure out here what has put a hold on people buying electric cars and what might encourage them once again to buy them. Now, for me, I personally think the single biggest thing that would work, I don't trust dealers. And I'm going to say it, I don't trust dealers to fully tell the truth about range. I don't. And because they have businesses to run, and I don't trust the WLTB ranges. So what I would trust is a massive increase in public infrastructure. If we get that, it doesn't matter then if I only get 250 kilometres out of 430.
Everywhere.
It doesn't matter because I can stop somewhere, a number of places, 20 minutes, have a coffee, no problem.
Yep.
No problem. That's what I think will make the difference.
Yeah. And we are getting there. It takes a while.
Yeah.
The grid connection, we've talked about it before. ESB networks are under serious pressure to get people to put the connections in the ground.
Mm.
The capacity of the grid is fine. Not everybody's going to plug in their car at every single time. It's the same if everybody went to fill their petrol car at the exact same time. The forecourts wouldn't be able to handle it. And so the grid network is fine. The power on the grid is fine. The actual connections into the network is the issue at the moment, because those super fast chargers that we all want. So I was in an Audi 2 weeks ago and it can put in 255 kilometres in 10 minutes.
Pretty decent.
Yeah, it's
very decent.
But you need that 250 kilowatt DC fast charger.
Okay. Now, before we go, new models.
Yes.
What takes your fancy? It's always interesting to hear your view on what you think.
Renault 5.
Okay.
Really? Like,
yeah.
If you remember the old Renaults
of
old.
Yeah.
Beautiful car.
We used
car.
To have a Renault 4 in the early 80s.
There's going to be a Renault 4 coming towards the end of the year as well. So all electric there. Good sized battery.
Mm-hmm.
Claimed range on the bigger battery of 400 kilometres.
When you say claimed range of 400 kilometres, I will just assume that at winter that's a minimum of 200 kilometers. That's what I will assume, okay? But that's, okay, so 400 kilometers for a car that's a bit smaller than a Golf.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's not
B-segment.
Bad.
B-segment, yeah. Okay. So a lot of people interested in it.
Kind
50,000 pre-orders. Haven't got an Irish price in it yet. But in Europe, you're talking around 23, 24,000 euros.
Okay, so maybe about 30 here.
Say maybe 27, we'd be probably coming in around that.
Not
the
too bad.
Dacia Spring, which is Renault's sister company from Romania.
Is that a sub 20 grand?
Yes, in the UK, just after announcing the prices of 14,990.
So we'll get it about 20 then.
Around 20.
That's four-seater. Good. Yeah.
210 kilometer claimed range, so maybe 150. It's a light car.
So run around.
Like, yeah, good as well. So that more affordable car is going to come in. We're going to get the Citroen EC3 as well. In Europe, you're getting that for 99 euros a month on lease.
Well, what does
Whether
that
we get that here, we don't have the prices for it yet. Maybe 150 euros a month for a four-seater.
Sorry, what do you mean by 99 or 150 a month?
Leasing.
Oh, sorry, leasing.
Apologies, yes. So you can lease it then as well. So, and then that would be another way. I know that you didn't do it, but if you were worried about the value of the car, an electric car, that PCP price. So with PCP, you put a deposit down and they guarantee that minimum future value.
Yeah. Well, hasn't the minimum future values on PCPs always been a little on the low side, though?
But compared to what we're talking about.
I know that, but now you're really rubbing it in. Of course, you're right, compared to the haircut that I've taken.
Yeah, if you wanted that reassurance, PCP might be the way for you. Mm. Leasing might be the way for you. And you might go, Derek, leasing's a bit more expensive.
Yeah.
You're paying that bit more per month to have that guarantee of, do you know what, this car is not for me. I've got a 12-month lease. You're not locked into it, as you said, Adrian.
Yeah, so these are kind of ways to avoid the disaster. I mean, look.
Learn by what Adrian didn't do.
Yeah, ironically... And I've said this a few times as well. It's actually not a bad time now to buy an electric car because most of them have taken the haircuts. Now, I say
you
most
don't like
of them,
the readjustment word when I say readjustment.
Sorry, readjustment. I say most of them, but a couple of them haven't.
No, some of them are still holding true, but there's some really good value on 0% finance. And this is what's hurting the used car value as well.
I say Skoda have now, I think they've done price cut, plus they're doing 0%.
So why
finance.
Would you buy a secondhand car when you can buy a new car?
Although, and here's the thing, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, why on earth would you buy a Kia or a Hyundai EV?
Well, they've reduced the prices as well, actually.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, they just didn't shout about it.
Okay.
Yeah, in all fairness to them, they did. So you have to make sure that we're highlighting that. So the market is starting to balance itself out for sure. When fuel prices start to go up, that's when you're really going to see the interest in it. Because as much as we talk about, we want to be environmentally friendly, I'm interested in technology, I want a nicer drive, when it's hitting your pocket. And Adrian, you will be coming back to me in a couple of months' time with a nice smile on your face saying, I'm so glad I stuck with that EV that I've got tied into, because it's so much more cheaper to run than a hybrid or a full petrol or diesel, because that initial price is not there.
It is, but annualized with the $7,000 hit that I took, it's not. But if your accounting preference is on forget about last year, that's all history, from here on in,
correct,
it will be cheaper.
Number one. And number two, your depreciation value after 2 years, the difference won't be as much. And then after 3 years, the difference won't be as much, because that used car market will want to buy Adrian's car. And so the price will start to come up as much as the price that you got from that dealer.
I love the optimistic sort of gloss you're putting on it. But thank you for a genuinely informative and engaging a discussion there. Derek Riley, who's general manager of Nevo.ie. Rory Bones was on sound today, and JJ Clark produced. And you've been listening to The Big Tech Show. So we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, baked for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them, like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs. Crack on.